Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then, there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. Jesus showed up in one of the synagogues to teach. A woman who had been suffering for 18 years was there. She was bent over so much she was unable to stand up straight. She was bound by an illness that was probably painful, frustrating, and certainly caused anxiety. We don't know very much about this woman. We don't know her name. We don't know her family situation. We don't know if she was in the synagogue every week or just that day. We don't know if the thought of being healed was even in her mind that day. We don't even know if this woman knew in advance that Jesus would be teaching in the synagogue that day. Luke, the storyteller, didn't think we needed to know those things. Luke wants us to know the major events that happened on that day, on that Sabbath day, on that holy day. And the first thing Luke wants us to know is, in Luke's words, Jesus saw her. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and healed her. That's major. He healed her of her bent over ailment and also of her pain and her frustration and the anxiety that that illness caused. Luke tells of another major event on that holy day. The woman praised God. Luke is giving us a reason for this holy day, for our worship. Jesus shows up. Jesus sees us. Jesus heals us. And we praise God. When I was a relatively new pastor, a visitor came to me after worship and was very critical of our Lutheran liturgy. She said it was, and I quote, man-made. My response: those who put our liturgy together down through the ages were faithful followers of Jesus. That was all I felt I needed to say. Faithful followers of Jesus put our liturgy together. And then she asked another question that still echoes in my mind from time to time. She asked, "Don't Lutherans ever have healing in their services?" My answer was quick and simple. Yes, we do. Every time we gather for worship.
Every time we gather for worship, there's healing. And this is what Luke wants us to know, that when we gather for worship, Jesus shows up, Jesus sees us, and Jesus heals us. In some way, Jesus heals us. And our response is to praise God. This is what's supposed to happen in our liturgy, whether it's formal and structured or whether it's informal. Whenever Christians gather for worship, Jesus shows up, he sees us, and he heals us, and we praise God. Now, Luke gives us another major event that happened in the synagogue that day. The leader of the synagogue was indignant. The leader of the synagogue was angry. I remember a Sunday over 50 years ago when I was in seminary. I left Allentown in the wee hours. And when I arrived in Erie, it was Sunday morning. And I wanted to go to church. I drove around town trying to find a church service. For every church I passed, the service had already started. And I didn't want to walk in late. But eventually, that was my only choice. And the church I found was pretty full. And I remember walking in and I found a place right near the middle on the aisle. And I was there in time for the sermon, so I was feeling okay that I had come to worship and that I was at worship. But just before starting the sermon, the pastor started to scold the congregation. He was indignant. He sounded very angry, and he spoke at length about the importance of arriving to worship on time. And I felt that everyone was looking at me. And they probably were, rightly so. 50 years later, every time I pass by that church, and Joe, you know this, I always tell you, that's the one, I remember that scolding. But what happened was he scolded the congregation that day. And did you notice in this reading? When Jesus healed the bent over woman, the leader of the synagogue didn't scold Jesus. The leader didn't scold the woman who'd been healed. The leader scolded the crowd. What are you doing here if you need healing? Even if you've been sick for 18 years, what's one more day to wait? Now, I certainly didn't speak up at that church that morning in the congregation where I was late and the congregation was scolded. I didn't speak up. But you can bet I wrote a letter the next week. But Jesus didn't hesitate. He didn't wait. He spoke up right away. And he wasn't happy. He scolded the leaders of the synagogues for what they had done. Jesus scolded the religious professionals. And Jesus taught them the real meaning of Sabbath. Now, in those days, as Jesus indicated, it was religiously lawful to do some work. And the example Jesus gave, you know, you need to keep the animals hydrated. That's okay to do that work. And the healing of human beings was also allowed in those days. But there was a rule that it had to be a life-threatening condition. Now, earlier Jesus got in trouble for a Sabbath healing. He healed a man with a withered hand. That's not life-threatening. And neither was this ailment of the woman. She'd lived with it for 18 years. What's another few days? Healing can wait. But when Jesus saw the woman, he saw no reason to wait another day. Now, rarely a week goes by these days that I don't hear a criticism of what is called organized religion. Now, it appears that Jesus is criticizing organized religion as he's criticizing the synagogue leaders. But I think organized religion is a poor choice of words. I like to be organized. I like to plan ahead as much as I can. We have a booklet already prepared for our retreat this afternoon. I like to be organized. I don't see much value in being disorganized. Although I have a lot of disorganization, I try to be organized. And what the critics and Jesus are criticizing is not organization. What's being criticized is inflexible religion, legalistic religion, judgmental religion, controlling religion. Being organized isn't harmful in itself, but being inflexible and being legalistic and being judgmental and being controlling can be very harmful to the spirit of church members. And even though Jesus straightened up the woman in today's story, now she was all straightened up, he really wasn't successful in straightening out the synagogue leaders because they continued to be his opponents. And so really, Luke is teaching us here today that all people need to be straightened out. A couple of days ago, a woman stepped into a gas station, stopped at a gas station to get some gas. On one side of her, she reports, was a middle-aged man filling his white truck. On the other side was a teenager and probably his girlfriend. The woman dropped her keys, and as she was picking them up, the teenager insulted her. Now, I'm really not comfortable in reporting what he said, but trust me, it was bad. The middle-aged man walked over to the teenager and said, "Don't tell me I just heard that." He was the boy's coach. And he had the boy do 50 push-ups right there. And then he had him apologize to the woman and pay for her gas. And she gave that money to a homeless person. Now, hoping that the coach straightened up that teenager, we can call that day a holy day. Doesn't have to be on a particular day of the week. It was a holy day. People are bent over and broken physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. People are bent over in life with anxiety, with grief, with depression. We don't always see it. We don't always know it. In fact, being broken and bent over on the inside is usually the way people are. It's usually not visible. The struggles and the pain that people have is not always visible. So when we decide to be kind and loving, when we decide to pray for others, when we repent, even if it's repenting by doing 50 push-ups or whatever is needful, we can say at that moment, this is a holy day. Whenever we're kind and loving to others, we can say, this is a holy day. Jesus is teaching us today that the heart of Sabbath, the heart of our faith, is compassion. Whether the ailments are visible or not, when we have compassion for other people, we can say this is a holy day. day. Every time we gather for worship, Jesus sees us. Every time we gather for worship, we can experience the presence of Christ. Every time we gather for worship, we can say, "This is a holy day. Praise God." And every time in our daily lives, when we show compassion and kindness, we can say, "This is a holy day. Praise God." Let us pray. Think of something physical or mental or emotional or spiritual in your life that has you bent over, that has you bound. Think of some part of your life where you're hurting or troubled, grieving, or struggling. Now, Jesus laid his hands on the woman in the story. Imagine now that Jesus is placing his hands upon you. And hear the voice of Jesus. "I see you. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. I love you. I love you. I love you."